How many of you were here at our family creative service last week in the morning? Yeah, a few hands. So last week we heard from Gareth, and he introduced us to the concept of peace. So we're in a series at the moment on peace. Today we're going to be looking at peace with God. Peace as a biblical theme is a very important one. The phrase, do not be afraid, or fear not, or be not afraid, or peace be with you, or my peace I give to you, or my peace I leave with you, this sentiment appears well over 300 times in the scriptures. Last week we saw a very entertaining animated video. Hello. If you're a regular family creative goer, you'll know what I'm talking about. And in that video, Jesus says, shush, shush, to a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the waves go still. Yeah, thank you. That's my impression of the animated video. And so this, what Gareth was exploring with us last week, is the peace of God. And the reason I'm recapping a little bit today is because today we're talking about peace with God. And I just want to make the distinction between the two clear. So the peace of God is this calm in the raging storm. It's something that we can access at any time. It's something that we feel and experience in our daily lives, and it's a gift from God. And we know that when we take time out to pray and read the Bible and practice generosity and reflect on the ways that God's been faithful to us and to give thanks for it, and when we worship and praise God, generally, we tend to experience more peace. So there's a strong correlation between our choices and our levels of peace. Most of us, though, if we're honest, have struggled to keep hold of God's peace at all times. And that's not necessarily got anything to do with our levels of prayer. Life, as you'll all know, has quite a remarkable way of throwing us plenty of challenges to fill us with anxiety and stress. And so if you're struggling to experience the peace of God, I would encourage you to rely on the body of Christ. If you're in a connect group, take it to them. If not, find someone to pray with you and to get alongside you in your anxiety and in your stress. Because relying on each other as the body of Christ is really the best way to move through that if that's something you're struggling with. Peace with God is a fixed state. If you made the decision to welcome Jesus into your life, then you are at peace with God. Your feelings about it might change, but the status remains the same. It's kind of the foundation stone that we stand on. When you're a child or a parent or a spouse, you're in a relationship status with that person. I'm not talking about Facebook there. And I'm sure any of us with parents or children or spouses will know there are good days and there are bad days. There are days when we communicate really well with one another, and there are days when we communicate less well. But except in really unfortunate circumstances, the status of the relationship remains the same. So we're going to read a little bit about this peace with God from a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. So if we'd have a couple of people at the back to hand out Bibles. If you need a Bible, just stick your hand in the air. If you want to find it on your phone, that's fine. I'm going to read it out loud. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read it out loud. So if you want to just listen, that's also fine. So just stick your hand in the air if you want a Bible. They've got plenty at the back. It's from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. One over there as well. Great. So Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. The passage says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So verses 1 and 2 there, we read, we have peace with God. And we have peace with God because we have been justified through faith. So our faith, we gained access to this peace with God through having faith in Christ. So that's just a kind of recap of what we've just talked about. And why is it that we have this peace with God? So I'm going to just do a really quick summary of the kind of whole scriptural message. I'm going to be really quick, I promise, in order to answer this question. And part of me wants to apologize for doing this, because I'm like, oh, it's so basic and everyone knows it. And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to apologize for doing this, because this is the gospel message. And I think it's just really important to understand this if we're going to understand why we're at peace with God. So God created the world, and he starts with Adam and Eve, and they're in the Garden of Eden, and he creates them to be in relationship with him. God and humans share the garden together. They walk and talk together and live in freedom and peace. I'm sure you all know the story, but things go wrong pretty quickly. Adam and Eve decide they won't trust God's order anymore, and they want God's knowledge for themselves. So they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is when they realize that they're naked. And in Genesis, we read that they are ashamed of their nakedness when they realize that. They then start blaming one another for their actions, and they get banished from the garden. So it's at this point that humanity's relationship with God is damaged. Humanity's life of sin goes from bad to worse in a cycle of destruction. God tries to wipe the whole earth in a flood and start again with Noah and his family, but within hours, Noah has messed it up, and the cycle continues. God chooses Abraham and his descendants and develops a whole set of rituals and sacrifices that can make them clean enough to be right before God. But within a few weeks, sometimes days, maybe even hours or minutes, they're unclean again and have to do the whole process again. Eventually, they end up enslaved to the Egyptians. I'm skimming over a few things here, but don't worry. But God rescues his people from the Egyptians, from slavery, through Moses, and sends them new laws to try and help them to be in right relationship with him again. God also sends his presence to them, which they have to keep in a separate place because it's so powerful that most people who enter it will die instantaneously. There's a lot more to this story, but if you want to know more, my summary is this: read your Bibles. But anyway, we then get to the Gospels. So God, in the Gospels, sends himself in human form. Jesus comes to this earth as a human, fully human, yet still fully divine, and offers his life as the ultimate sacrifice so that God's presence, God's Spirit, becomes accessible to us all at any time. We can all access the peace of God, but also so that the status of humanity's relationship with God goes from being damaged to restored. Because of what Jesus did, humanity's status becomes at peace with God. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Humanity was still sinning when Jesus died for us. And we read in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's all because of God's love for us. And that's not just humanity in a general way. That's you and me. We enter into that status by faith, because it's because of Jesus' death and resurrection that we can claim peace with God for ourselves. That's huge, and I'm reluctant to move on from it too quickly. But with the time that we have left, I want to explore a little bit of what happens when we don't really feel at peace with God. We've established that the status doesn't depend on our feelings, but our feelings still have a big impact on how we experience any relationship. And so if we look back to verse 5 in our Romans passage, the first little bit says, "And hope does not put us to shame." I want to suggest that one of the biggest things that holds us back from experiencing the fullness of peace, of the peace that we have with God, is shame. You remember when I mentioned Adam and Eve, I talked about when they realized that they were naked after they'd eaten the fruit. They were ashamed. And then they blamed someone else for their wrongdoing. You can be sure that where there is blame, there is always shame. And shame is not the same as guilt. Guilt is that little voice that tells us you did something wrong. Shame is the voice that says to us, who you are is wrong. Guilt leads us to apologize for our wrongdoing and draws us closer into relationship with the person we've wronged. Shame leads us to hide from the person we've wronged. Guilt helps us to realize when we need to take responsibility for something. Shame helps us figure out who we can blame. Guilt knows that underneath any of our actions, our relationship status remains at peace with God. Shame is quickly afraid that they've messed that all up. I had to do some research for some of the work I was doing for my degree, and I just want to tell you about a couple of the studies I've found. So one of them was about drinking habits, and it looked at 18 to 50-year-olds, and the study was measuring drinking habits alongside self-esteem. And basically, I won't go into all the details of it, but the conclusion of the study basically found that the worse a person felt about how much they drank the night before was a strong indicator of them drinking more the next night. So the worse they felt about the amount they drank the night before, the more they were likely to drink the following night. Their shame didn't free them of their actions, actually led them deeper into the problem. Another study involved female dieters eating sweet food, and they had to do this test where they ate a certain amount of food. Some of the women, before they ate the food, received a little note that just said, "Everyone indulges sometimes, don't be too hard on yourself." Half of them didn't receive that message. The ones who did receive the message in a subsequent follow-on trial ate half as much candy, it's an American study, than those who did not receive that message. So their shame made that compelled them further into the cycle of the thing that they were trying to escape. Of course, and this, I'm not saying, don't worry about sin, it's all okay. Of course, our sin and our wrongdoing has an impact on our relationship with God. Just like in a human relationship, when we snap at our spouse, or when we shut down communication with our parents, the status of the relationship remains the same, as we've established. They don't stop being our spouse, or our parent, or our child. But there's no denying that the relationship is obviously impacted. But there's a really simple solution. It involves going to that person in vulnerability, in humility, admitting that we did something wrong, and asking for forgiveness. Or if it's the other way around, It involves going to that person in vulnerability, in humility, and admitting that you were hurt by their actions or their words. I said it was simple. I didn't say it was easy. But the only way out of shame is through vulnerability and honesty and connection. And the same thing applies to our relationship with God. The formal term for this in Christian circles is confession or maybe reconciliation. And it's a really beautiful, wonderful thing. So before we receive communion, which honestly I believe is one of the most beautiful expressions of the reminder that our relationship status with God remains at peace. But before we do that, we're going to take a second. And I just want to encourage you, you can do this in your own head. You can do this with pen and paper. You can open the notes section on your phone. And basically, we're just going to take some time and we're going to ask God to show us if there are things in our relationship with him that are keeping us from experiencing the fullness of being at peace with God. And I'm going to ask a couple of people, maybe Lizzie and a couple of people, to just be over here as well. Chris is going to set a bit of an atmosphere for us to do this. Just have a couple of people over here to be available if you would like prayer. If there's something that actually you don't even know where to begin to confess, you don't have to share it with whoever's praying for you, but maybe you just need to begin to break the chain of that and just to bring it in prayer. Or maybe you're thinking, actually, I don't think I am at peace with God. I don't think I have faith and I don't think I've accepted God. And actually, there's no pressure, but if you want to today, then please come and pray with someone about that as well. But otherwise, I just want us to take a minute and to bring before God whatever those things are, so that when we come to the table, when we come to receive communion, we can leave those things behind and claim that status of being at peace with God. So I'm just going to pray for us as we do this. Lord Jesus, thank you that you sacrificed yourself, that you suffered death in order that we would be made right with you again. Lord, where we have stored up resentment to you for things that have been difficult in our lives, or where we have sinned deliberately or accidentally, where we know there are things that are preventing us from experiencing the fullness of peace with you, Lord, would you show those to us and lead us to be able to leave those behind? In Jesus' name.